Hello, my name is Andreina.
And my name is Gabriela, and this is Wicks and Candles,
a podcast about two sisters and their obsession with period film.
Join us on a trip through palaces and manors, balls and tea parties, and a lot of dresses, carriages, and of course, wigs and candles.
In this episode, Van Gogh at Eternity's Gate. So, Gabby, we are finally here recording the final episode of the season. I'm very excited to talk about this movie.
Yes, Nene, me too. I'm so excited. And I think we chose a great film to close the season.
I agree. This is a very special film. And I think it's a perfect conclusion for our series about artists in movies. But first, as always, before we start our discussion, can you give us just a few facts about the movie?
Sure, Nene. At Eternity's Gate is a film that portrays the final years of Dutch painter Vincent van Gogh. It was released in 2018 and was directed by Julian Schnabel. The screenplay was written by Julian Schnabel together with Jean-Claude Carrière and Louise Kugelberg. It has a wonderful cast. On the main role, we see Willem Dafoe as Vincent, Rupert Friend as his brother Theo, and Oscar Isaac as his friend and painter, Paul Gauguin. The film premiered at the 75th Venice International Film Festival and was very well received. Overall, especially the performance of Willem Dafoe received a lot of nominations for several awards, including an Oscar nomination for his performance as Vincent. Maybe it's also good to note that the director, Julian Schnabel, is not only a filmmaker, but also a painter. And I'm pretty sure that this fact will also come up in our discussion later on.
Yeah, thank you, Gabby, for those facts. And definitely the fact that Julian Schnabel is a painter as well as a filmmaker will definitely play a role. But also before we start, even though Vincent van Gogh is such a well-known painter, we still want to give a few facts very briefly just to remind us of who he is and what he did. So Vincent van Gogh was a Dutch painter. He was born on March 30th, 1853, and he died on July 29th, 1890, and his work is classified as post-impressionist. And obviously, he's one of the most famous and influential figures in the history of Western art. He painted a lot, but mostly at the end of his life, in just over a decade, and he left about 2,100 artworks, including 860 oil paintings, and what he mostly painted was landscapes, still lifes, portraits, and self-portraits. Those are some of his most well-known and famous works. Vincent van Gogh had a difficult life, and his death was also very sad. He died from, as they write it in the internet, from a self-inflicted gunshot at age 37. So it's a very sad ending, obviously, and also just a very sad but curious fact. During his lifetime, only one of his paintings was sold.
Incredible.
So those are a few. Yeah, it's incredible. So those are a few facts about this monumentally huge life. But we want to focus on the discussion of the movie, of course. So why don't we talk about that?
What an incredible and tragic fact of his life. But as so often, is history repeating with artists. Mm. So then how about we plunge into our discussion? And I would like to start with a very general, but hopefully a good question for you. What was your overall impression of the film? And Can you maybe give us your opinion on the approach the director chose for this film?
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Gabby. That's a very big question, but I think it will help us dive in for sure. I'm going to tell you how this happened. We were choosing movies to watch, and we were struggling. And then we did a quick search, and we had to go really deep. And we found this movie. It was not easy to find. We watched the trailer, and we saw, oh, this is the perfect candidate. Despite that, I didn't research anything about the movie. So I sat down to watch it just as you should, without expectation. That's one of the best ways to watch and read or listen to anything. When you don't know anything and you have zero expectation. So I started watching the movie, and very soon it was clear that this was a special movie. It was very fast that you realize, oh, this movie is actually good. This actually is a very good movie, and I'm loving it. And I was struck by the beauty of the film. And then, I don't know if it was while watching the film or if it was very much at the very end that I saw the name of the director, that I knew why it was so good. Because I already knew this director. I think this is how it happened. I think I watched, and then I'm sitting there in, you know, tears, and then, you know, it says directed by Julian Schnabel. And I was, no way, that's why. Because I had seen only one of his movies, The Die Bell and the Butterfly. Is that the correct name? Correct me, please, if I'm wrong. This is a devastating movie based on a book about this man who suffers a stroke and is completely paralyzed. And the only way he can communicate is through blinking one eye. So this movie was incredible. And a lot of what he does in that movie comes back in this one. Was that the right name?
I only see it in German. But yes, it sounds like it's the right name. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. If it's wrong, we'll put the right name. So now to go back to your question, what is my thought about the approach? I absolutely loved it. We have been talking a lot this season specifically about movies about artists and how it's so hard, or maybe it's not so hard, but it's rare to find movies where you can actually understand the mind of the artist. But no, that is not an issue in this movie. This movie, the approach that Schnabel had in the directing of this movie is completely impressionistic. It's 100% subjective. And he put together an astonishingly beautiful and moving and illuminating film in many ways. And he does this because of how he chose to direct it, and it's very subjective. Most of it is through Vincent van Gogh's eyes. Like I said, it's impressionistic. There's long montage with just music, no dialogue. There's a million choices that they did in this movie that make it really special and that makes you really feel that you understand where Van Gogh was coming from. Like, you can understand what the eye saw, how it was processed in his head and then put on the canvas, which is what we've been asking throughout this season that we want to see. And they did that amazingly. What about you, Gabby?
Thank you, Nene. I think we will agree on most of our comments this time. I had a similar impression. Also, by the opening scene, seen through the eyes of Vincent. That's the opening scene, and he's walking on a dirty road, and he encounters a girl leading a group of sheep. Yeah, and he has a short conversation with this woman, and the way they shot this scene with the rays of light,
the sunlight
shining on Vincent's view was very beautiful. So I immediately also thought, this is special. This is not. I live in Europe, so my first thought was like, this is not typical Hollywood. This is art house. This looks pretty much like an European style film. I was also impressed by how they did the camera. How do you call it? The camera itself.
The camera shots. The lenses they chose.
It was kind of very dynamic. At the beginning, I was like, okay, this is like very innovative because it's really moving a lot, like as if you are Vincent and you are moving in his body through the landscape and through the scene. I do have to admit that at some point it was kind of, it made me a little bit dizzy. But my first impression was that it was very innovative and that it was exactly what you mentioned. It was really giving you the opportunity to immerse yourself in his shoes and get a glimpse of how he must have been to see what he saw. So I agree. The approach they took to make this film is completely different from others that we have talked about until now. Mm-hmm. It was not biographical. That was not the main intention. And it was clear that I've seen some interviews with the directors, the screenwriters and cast. And it was clear also how they describe it, that they wanted to portray him as an artist and that the milestones of his life were secondary. They didn't have a priority. Mm. And they absolutely achieved this. They do, of course, show some with the knowledge we as general public have of Vincent van Gogh's life, you can still identify some major moments in his life throughout the film. But they include them in a very clever way. They never really show what happened. It's just Vincent talking about it. If I may mention an example already in that context, because it's not biographical, but you still know what happened.
just to illustrate your example.
I think we all know that Vincent cut off one of his ears at some moment in life. He was having some issues and that led him to make that decision. So we all know this. So how did they portray this in the film? They don't show this happening. No. They just show him later on talking to a doctor. And the doctor asking, how did this happen? What were you thinking? And it was a beautiful scene. It's a close-up of Vincent, or the actor, Willem Dafoe. And he has his head wrapped on this bandages covering his head and his ear. It looks like a self-portrait, actually.
Yeah, I want to cry, actually. Oh, my God.
And the entire conversation he has with the doctor is also not really about how he cut off his ear. It's about his motivation as an artist. It's about how and why he paints. And what he thinks when he wants to paint. So it is brilliant. It is really brilliant. You know what happened, but this is not on focus. It's completely secondary. And I think this is maybe one of the biggest achievements of this film. And we will certainly find a few more along our discussion.
Wow. Gabby, thank you for that example, because it made me cry just remembering that scene. And thank you, because that is a perfect illustration of what we're trying to say, how innovative it was. And I think something that you said was so important, that we don't see him doing it. We don't see the action. And the conversation is not about what he did, but the motivation. And you said the motivation behind his painting. So the doctor is having this conversation to figure out what led him to cut, like he wants to find out. But the conversation is so much, is so much larger than that. The conversation is very much about what he thinks and what he feels and what motivates his actions, his what he does. And the most important point here is that the focus is not on the specific facts of his life, if they're correct or incorrect. Actually, it's very much about subjectivity. What is perception? What is memory? What is subjectivity? Meaning how you see things. Two people might be seeing the same thing, but how you see them differently at the same time. The stories that we tell ourselves inside our minds too. And how difficult it is to express those. I think that scene that you just described shows that, how there are certain concepts or ideas, emotions that are so complex, so unique, so indescribable, that it's extremely difficult to verbalize them, to express them in a way that the other person will understand. And I think this is an important point about Van Gogh, because in the end, he wanted to communicate through his painting. This is not a person who wanted to be an obscure person who, you know, whoever gets it. No, the point is to transmit, and he says it throughout, I want to make people feel alive. I want them to understand life when they see my painting. So I think it's about that too, about the idea of how truly difficult it is to communicate with each other. We are entire worlds unto ourselves. And sometimes these very complex ideas and concepts and emotions, they get lost in translation. And I think that conversation is about that. And the movie overall is about that. It's a magnificent film. Anyway, I cry.
Thank you, Nene. But if we cause such reactions on you, I think it's a very good merit to the film, because yeah, it achieves its goal. I absolutely agree. They certainly used such moments throughout the film to give Vincent kind of the chance to convey his ideas. You know, yeah, it's not that they just, you know, film him painting and whatever and thinking alone, but they included such moments throughout the storyline to give him the space to open his mind and express his view on life and his perspective and his motivation as a painter. I think there are a lot of also dialogues between Vincent and Paul Gauguin. We will certainly get to talk about Paul Gauguin. And those dialogues between two artists are also incredibly interesting. Because you also get a glimpse of how their minds work. Paul Gauguin had a completely different approach to art and to his work than Vincent, and also another attitude towards life. And it was very fascinating how they chose also those moments when both artists are interacting or both actors are interacting to kind of give them the space to show their perspective correspondingly. And how, what you mentioned, every mind is a world of its own. And even though the thing we are looking at is per se just one thing, we are looking at it and we are seeing two different things. And this is something that they continuously talk about throughout the film. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for mentioning, Xavi. Thank you for mentioning those conversations, because the script is magnificent, because, and also I think what you will talk about is most the performance is so natural. These conversations that can be very complex and very philosophical, these two actors, the chemistry between William Dafoe and Oscar Isaac as the two, you know, as Gauguin and Van Gogh, is brilliant. You can see how different they were, but still how they were united by their being artists. It's like the curiosity of the artist was pressing in both of them. And even though they completely disagreed, the quest was artistry. The quest is not if I see it this way or if I see it this way. The quest, the conversation is about the act of painting, what it means and what we're doing with it. It is brilliant. One thing that made me think about, and I didn't do much research at all about the movie, but, you know, Vincent's and letters with his brothers are very well known. It's not something I have read, even though so many people have recommended it to me. And I keep thinking that the script probably had a lot of material to draw from, because I'm sure Vincent and Theo talk about art quite a bit and the correspondence with Gauguin. So that I'm imagining that's where that is coming from. So it's very rich, very detailed, and you get it. And you get it. It's to the point. It's really well done.
Nene, thank you for mentioning Theo as his brother, because I think that I would like to throw in already one comment about the actor and his performance. So Theo van Gogh was actually Vincent's younger brother, and he was a gallerist. And he was a businessman after all, and he could support Vincent financially. And they had a very, very, very beautiful, loving bond as brothers, as siblings. And he supported Vincent throughout his life, not only financially, but also as a brother and in all stages that Vincent went through. So this role is played by Rupert Friend. So Rupert Friend, I know him from one beautiful film with Queen Victoria, I think. I have to check.
Oh, yes. That's right. Yes.
He was so beautiful.
I think so.
Yes. I might have to check up on this. But I really like him as an actor. And I was so, so touched by his performance as Theo. I think there was no one who could have done this so well as he did. The chemistry between the two of them, between Rupert and William Dafoe, was perfectly on point. He shows so much empathy and so much humanity. And you can see in his face all the worries he carried for his brother, how much he cared and how much understanding he had for what Vincent was seeing, living for his passion, which is not easy. Just in the episode we just recorded or we released before, we talked about Camille Claudel and the relationship she had with her brother. And even though her brother might have loved her a lot, he didn't get her. He didn't get her as a woman and as an artist.
No.
But seeing Theo van Gogh interacting with Vincent, and at least how they portray it, these two actors.
Oh.
It was beautiful, and I think Rupert Friend honored the role Theo had in Vincent's life very well, because he got him. He understood him, and he supported him from the bottom of his soul.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I agree with 100%. What a beautiful performance. The humanity, the empathy, the kindness, the sweetness, the love.
The love.
The love. You can see the love that he had for his brother.
And admiration. Admiration. Yeah, so which is at the same time a sign of respect for what he did, you know, not just like, okay, I don't know what you're doing, and you're just a drunk in a little town, and I just, who's doesn't earning any money, you know? It could have been like that, but he wasn't. He supported him wholeheartedly.
That's right. And they do mention, this is mentioned throughout the movie, because I think the movie shows the last few years of his life in Paris, but then in the south of France, where he did his most famous paintings, right? All the very sunny landscapes and sunny flowers and the sunflowers. And the town, I think it's Arles, the townspeople, they were tired of Vincent van Gogh because he drank and he had some episodes, right? He suffered from mental illness. And this is one of the things that most people know about Vincent van Gogh. He painted a lot. He had mental illness. He cut off his ear. So there's a lot of kind of like cliche ideas about him. And the movie shows that, yeah, he was not an easy person to have around, because he did have those, I'm not sure how to call them, those episodes where he will lose his memory. He didn't know what was happening. And you can see how Theo, despite this, he never lost his patience. He understood that it was an illness. He understood that it was not a personality flaw or anything like that. He understood it was that he was sick and that he was a brilliant artist that was sick. Like the separation between the two. It's really moving. I was crying when Gabby was describing that, because it's really, really moving. And the movie also makes this aspect of Van Gogh's life, his mental illness, very visible too. Everything is made visible. This movie is truly, this movie truly shows, doesn't tell. Yeah, so throughout the movie, we see how he feels those episodes. Like he kind of, his mind goes black, like it goes dark, and he doesn't know where he is. And many times Schnabel plays with sound. He not only plays with image, he plays with sound as well. It is magnificent. He truly is using all the tools of film to tell this story. It is not flat in any way. So we see how Vincent sees the light, how Vincent sees faces, how he goes through life when he's walking through fields and being inspired, listening to the wind. Everything is alive. Also, these episodes where, and we see a few of them, where he's healthy, he's painting, but inevitably he has a, I don't know, it's a psychotic episode or what. I don't know what he has been diagnosed with. I don't know what he had. But he does a lot of playing with sound, in the sense that he's having a conversation and we're hearing the audio in the conversation, da-da-da-da-da, and then he starts, you know, literally losing his mind a little bit, and he runs away, and then the sound starts to repeat. The conversation he just had, he starts hearing it in his head, and is you can feel you are inside his mind. You know how you're tortured by certain thoughts or memories sometimes, that they come back and they come back and they come back. The Schnabel and his team did this in a beautiful way, brilliant way. And one thing that is amazing about this movie is that it's not confusing at all. Despite the movie being pretty much from Vincent's point of view, he's an unreliable narrator, obviously, because we can't trust, but somehow we do, because he's a pure, I mean, he's also showing us how pure he is, how pure he goes through life, and also how rational he is about art. How rational he is about his ideas about art. This is a movie that respects the idea of art and philosophy. So even though it could feel confusing, it's not. The movie, you completely understand it. It's edited perfectly. as well, because to do these effects with when he plays with the sound and he plays with the light at the same time, it could be really dislocating, but it's not.
Yeah. Nene, this is really interesting that you bring this up, because as I said, I watched some interviews and Schnabel explains that he and his co-screenwriter, that they had the idea while visiting a museum. They went to a museum, I think it was Musée d'Orsay, and they saw some paintings of Van Gogh, and then they had the idea. And when they sat down to discuss how they would do the film, they said, we want to do it as you go into a museum or an art gallery and you get an impression of the artist. So you don't walk chronologically through someone. You just get you get an overall impression. And I said, let's get this feeling of what did you see overall? Which picture did you get overall of the artist? And that's what we want to portray. We don't want to do anything linearly, chronologically. And I think it's beautiful that you had the right impression, because that was their intention. How they edited, you get a very good view, and you're not really feeling, did this happen before or after, but it doesn't matter. Mm. It doesn't matter, because they made it so well that it's not confusing you.
Yeah. Wow. It's clear that we love this movie. It was very special. And because I want to, I guess, kind of move us forward in the discussion, I just want to bring up a couple things that were very important for me, and I'm going to try not to cry. One of my favorite writers of all time is the art critic John Berger. I read his book of essays when I was in college, and it's one of my most important books of all times. His collection of essays called The Sense of Sight. And there's one essay in that book that is one of my favorite things that I have ever read, because when I read it, it validated me in an incredible way. And I have held on to that essay from the rest of my life. Like, this is kind of like what I hold on to. And in this essay, he's describing a time in his life when he was feeling in a terrible, you know, dread. He was in a terrible crisis, a mental health crisis, life crisis. He was suffering deeply, existential dread. He was just not doing well. And then he was in a city, and then he saw, I'm going to go to the museum, and I'm so sorry, I didn't copy which museum he went. But he went into the museum, and he thought, I'm just going to go in, and I'm just going to, I'm just going to distract myself with this. But he didn't expect anything from going to the museum. But when he got in, and he got face to face with Van Gogh's work, his outlook changed completely. And if I may, I want to read the quote that I selected from that essay. So, quote, still, I found myself glancing at the paintings and then looking at them. The potato eaters, the cornfield with a lark, the plug field at Auvers, the pear tree. Within 2 minutes, and for the first time in 3 weeks, I was calm, reassured. Reality had been confirmed. To me, end quote, to me, this essay and this quote is about, our need for art, what art does for us, especially, people who are open to it. That is not just a flat thing that we see on a museum, that is something alive, something that confronts us with ourselves, something that has a real impact on our lives. And I cry, obviously, when I was watching the movie, because there's a moment when Van Gogh said, I'm not sure in which conversation, there were so many conversations that he had, when he says, I can show people what it feels to be alive. He says that when he's describing what he does. And of course, that's when I was crying so much, because my goodness, this is what Berger's quote says. And that's exactly what he achieved. When you see a Van Gogh in person, I mean, we could talk about, you know, this episode could go on and on and on, but this is exactly what you feel. This is not flat in any way. And I'm using the descriptor, you know, the adjective flat. I'm not sure why I'm keep using flat, but Van Gogh's painting is anything but. Thank you for letting me bring up my favorite book and my favorite quote.
It's very fitting. It's very fitting. And I think two things that you mentioned, he had a very pure soul, and they highlight this throughout the film, how he saw everything, how he saw life. And maybe this is one of his biggest achievements as an artist, that he was so convinced and he was so passionate about what his motivation was with his art, that this is why it has transcended time and still touches us today, and why it makes you feel, okay, this is so full of life when I see one of his paintings. And I think maybe to also highlight that part, Nene, there is a scene pretty much at the maybe towards the end of the film where we see Vincent in a psychiatric clinic. And yeah. He is summoned by a priest. And the priest is played by the beautiful Mads Mikkelsen, which is one of my favorite actors.
That was a great surprise.
That was a great surprise. And they had a conversation because the priest wanted to kind of check up on him and see if he could release him from the clinic or not. And they have a beautiful conversation. And the priest, you can see very clearly that he was trying to provoke Vincent, and he was kind of trying to fall on a trap and make him look like he's not being rational about what he's saying. But Vincent is so convinced about his art and his motivation, why he does what he does. And he's so eloquent that he really manages to convince this priest to release him. And so he does. Yeah, he releases Vincent. So I think this is also a very good, a very clever way of the filmmakers to include one moment to give Vincent again the platform to show what moved him, what drove him, and what he was convinced of. And I think, as I said, it matches to your impression today, to what you feel and what you perceive by looking at his art.
I think we can close this part of the discussion so we can move on to our quiz. Okay. So to start, what is your sweaty week? One thing you didn't like about the movie.
Oh, my sweaty week. It's a very minor thing. I mentioned this at the beginning. At the beginning, I was very impressed by how they moved the camera, because I thought, oh, this is kind of cool. But at some point, after, I don't know, 30 minutes or so of the film, I was kind of getting a little bit dizzy. Eventually, I got used to it and I understood the intention behind it. But I have to say that somehow it got my attention. So if it gets your attention in a negative way, and if it makes you dizzy, maybe they overdid it a little bit. It's a technical thing. It's a technical thing. As I said, I understand the intention behind it. But maybe they could have toned it down a little bit. Very simple sweaty week. How about you?
Yeah. I have no sweaty weeks.
Oh.
Very, I have very no sweaty weeks, but I have zero sweaty week. I love this movie completely, totally. I have not a sweaty week, but a little anecdote that I want to add maybe here in a sweaty week, in the sweaty week portion. I was listening to a podcast, which is all I do every day of my life. And this was this cultural critic who was interviewing a wig maker that works in Hollywood. They were having this conversation about wigs. And obviously, I thought about our podcast. Excuse me. In the conversation, the most important part of the conversation is that she said, most of the actors that you see on movies or TV shows are wearing wigs. You only notice that they're wearing wigs when the wigs are bad.
We're gonna have to start testing this argument from now on.
I was like, I almost start, you know, crying when I heard that, because like this is extremely relevant for us, this conversation. But why am I mentioning this in this part of the conversation? Because the only sweaty wig, which is not a sweaty wig, was that at one moment. Because I am now aware that most actors are wearing wigs in movies. Is that there was this scene between Van Gogh and Paul Gauguin? They're talking, and Oscar Isaac is obviously sublime in every sense, and actually his costumes were amazing, everything, and his hair was perfect. But there was this one moment, because of this conversation, that I looked at his hair and said, that has to be a wig.
No way. I didn't pick that up.
I am sorry. So that was the only sweaty wig. It's just this conversation reminded me, this podcast reminded me of that. And then I was like, oh, is this a wig?
Have to go back.
All right. Let's move on to the next question. What is your shining candle? One thing you love?
Well, Nene, there's so many. And you know, by nature, I'm indecisive. Still, I'm going to really try very hard. And I will maybe summarize all my sweaty wigs in one. My shining candles. I would say this movie is brilliant, but the performances are incredible. Mainly, of course, of Willem Dafoe. And if I may say something, I hadn't seen Willem Dafoe in a long time in a film. And I watched this and I was mesmerized. And I think maybe even watching the trailer, I thought they couldn't have picked anyone better than Willem Dafoe for this role. It was like this role was made for him and he was made for this role. He was absolutely brilliant. And then after watching the film, I went on researching and I wanted to see his filmography, and I realized he has tons of films. He has done so many things, but nothing really along the lines of Eternity's Gate. Maybe his most famous film is Platoon in the 80s, for which I think he even won an Oscar, if I'm not mistaken. I would have to research on that. The thing is, he has done a lot of science fiction. The last major films he did was the Spider-Man series. So I didn't have Willem Dafoe in the canon of art house films.
No.
Not at all.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting.
And he blew my mind. He blew me away. Subconsciously, I knew, okay, Willem Dafoe is like an authority in the movie industry. He's a veteran. Yeah. And I know he's good.
Yeah.
And I know he's legendary at some point. But by looking at his filmography, it was like he went completely out of everything he had done before to do this film. And it was just brilliant. It was brilliant. Yeah. The way he talks, the way he carries out, he delivers the dialogues, or sometimes the monologues now, because there's scenes where he's also just talking. Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. There's like, I really wonder what happened the year he was nominated for the Oscars. What was there that took away that award from him? Because for me it was absolutely brilliant. Also along the lines, Oscar Isaac. I love Oscar Isaac, even though I have to say that I have seen also very few things with him. But I also think he did it so well. They were both so good. every scene with Willem Dafoe and Oscar Isaac in this film is a jewel. It's a jewel. Because these two artists, as I mentioned before, they couldn't have been more different in their attitude and their view of life. Paul Gauguin, he's kind of a controversial character. He's very questionable in many things. And he did a lot of questionable things in his life. And he's the maybe one of the typical, most typical examples of the discussion, can you separate the arts from the art? You know?
Oh, yeah.
And I think Oscar Isaac captured that essence very well. This slight arrogance and this slight rebellious touch of Gauguin and how he thought so much of himself. But still being an artist to the core, through and through. My Shining Candles are the performances of the three main characters. I would have to include Rupert Friend as well because CEO was absolutely endearing. So Willem Dafoe, Oscar Isaac, and Rupert Friend are my shining candles in this film.
Oh, they were, thank you for that shining candle. Very appropriate, needed, 100%. You know, Willem Dafoe's face is magnetic. He pulls you in. And this is what they do in this movie. You said this movie is his face. Yeah, it's his face. I just want to add that he has over 150 films that he has done. And he has done a lot of art. Like, he's so prolific that he has done Hollywood movies, but he's also done weird movies. Like, one of the recent ones that I saw with him was The Lighthouse. Such a weird movie, black and white, with Robert Pattinson. It's just a completely mad movie, brilliant. He also did The Aquatic Life of Steve Zissou. Let me make sure I say that properly.
Oh my gosh, he did. He was in Poor Things, which Steve is still in my watch list.
There you go. So, 100% this movie, he deserved this. We have to go and check who was nominated that year, who he lost to. He also, and I haven't seen this movie, The Florida Project is one of the most acclaimed films of recent years, and he's on that movie as well. So anyway, a brilliant, you know what, we are going long, but anyway, I want to say my connection with Willem Dafoe is a very, very, very special film, which is The English Patient, which is one of my favorite films of all time, which, you know, this is a weird movie that people either love or hate. And I watched it when I was very young, and he plays the thief in The English Patient. And of course, I knew him from before, but that was the role that I got so attached to because he's in that movie that I adore with Juliette Binoche,
I agree with you 200% because I also love that film and I also loved him in that film.
Anyway, let's move on.
No, we cannot move on. You have to tell me, what is your shining candle?
Oh my God. My shining candle. I didn't do the homework. I guess one of the greatest pleasures of the movie, which could be a shining candle, is that we see very famous paintings being painted. The famous boots. We see that. And on the other hand, we see famous paintings being recreated in the imagery of the movie. Like, one of his most famous self-portrait is the one where he had already cut off his ear and he has this bandage around his head. We don't see this painting, but we see him, and it's the way they shot this, the light, the background, everything. It's like you're looking at the painting come alive.
Brilliant.
A shining candle that will shine forever.
Yes. And, you know, now I think we have to add something. Now that you have brought this up, I think your shining candle is the entire approach of him as an artist, how they conveyed his philosophy as an artist and so on. Why did they also achieve that? Maybe one factor that helped on achieving this, we mentioned at the beginning of our introduction, Julian Schnabel as a filmmaker. He's also an artist and a painter. And this definitely helped. His view as a painter and as an artist definitely helped to achieve this, to set the right tone, to find the right approach to portray this. And Julian Schnabel and Willem Dafoe have been friends for many years. Mm-hmm. So they had a lot of opportunity to talk and connect and everything. And he even taught Willem Dafoe some basics of painting so that he could paint on scene and make it look believable. So I think we also have to give the credit to Schnabel for bringing exactly this expertise as an artist and as a painter into the filmmaking of this movie.
Thank you for mentioning that, Gabby. That is very important. I think I don't think it helped. I think it made the film, the fact that he's a painter. Yeah, it's not that this was the person to do it. And he's still, I believe, still active as a painter. He's still active as an artist. He's made a few films. His first film was about an artist. His first film was a movie about Basquiat. So he truly, because he has the mind of a painter, because he's one that was like, he had the language.
Yes,
he had the language. But the amazing thing is that he also had, this is amazing, he also had the filmmaking language to make it happen, because you might have the language, but he's so skilled, he's so talented, he's so amazing, this artist, this man, this filmmaker, that he has the skills as a filmmaker to recreate this.
Yes.
Yes.
So okay. He brought both worlds very well together.
Exactly. Okay, next question. A stolen costume or prop? What piece of clothing would you like or prop would you like to keep?
Well, babe, Nene. Okay, we are talking about Vincent Van Gogh here in this film. Give me a painting. Give it to me. I love portraits. More than landscapes. Talk to me. I love to imagine the story behind each person. I love when there's a portrait whose face is so captivating that you really have the feeling that they're talking to you. So please give me a portrait of Van Gogh. Of course, I would love to have Dr. Gachet, because the story behind Dr. Gachet's painting is very fascinating and mysterious.
So
if I could steal even a copy made in a film set, I wouldn't mind if I could have Dr. Gachet in my house.
Wow. Well, that's obviously the best stolen costume or prop.
How about you?
For me, I was so taken by the movie that I wasn't actually thinking about that. But I did love Vincent's boots, which are very famous. He painted them beautifully. There's this amazing portrait of boots. I guess it's a still life. I correct myself. It's a still life of his boots. And the actor, Willem Dafoe, is wearing the boots, and they were beautiful. His costume is beautiful too, like the blue of his suit that he wear, like his pants and his jacket that he's wearing all the time, a very, very pretty blue. But I guess I'll keep the boots.
Very well. They were very raggedy, but they were beautiful.
Well, he was walking those fields, huh?
Yes.
The boots of an artist, oh my God. I mean, please, for the next question is, this movie takes place around 1888, 1890. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so would you travel? Would you time travel to this time and place?
Nene, most definitely. And also to the south of France. I mean, we're in a condition for the Weeks and Candles time travel question. To this time and place. Definitely, Nene. It was a fascinating time looking at art, what was happening in the art world during those times. It was groundbreaking. And funnily enough, Vincent van Gogh and Paul Gauguin, and they are considered impressionists, but they didn't really belong to any movement. They were kind of satellites around the impressionist movement, because they had a style of their own, and they were so different from all the rest of the classic impressionists that were working at the time. So for the art world, this was a fascinating time, and I guess I would love to go back in time and take a look at Paris and the south of France and what was happening around there, and see some of the artists.
Yeah,
winter
imagine.
Magic.
Imagine being alive then. To see it, to go to the museums and see these things.
Mm-hmm. To the salons.
Wow. Mm-hmm. To the salons, if that's right. For me, this movie is so beautiful. It's so sunny. It's a sunny movie. It's such a beautiful, sunny film. It never felt sad. It never felt somber. Even though his life was tough, we were seeing the world that he saw, which is nature and sunlight. And there's a couple quotes. They ask him, "What do you paint?" And he says, "Sunlight." But also there's another quote where he says, he painted a lot in nature, and they show him doing that. And of course, it's part of the period when finally painters could go out, because paint has been... The painting tubes were invented so painters could go out and paint outside. And what he said, God is nature, and nature is beauty. So this movie it shows you a world that is full of love and beauty, full of artistic, full of the artist's breath, the essence, like the soul. I don't know. There's the spark of life. You feel it. So it makes it very appealing. Even though I know it's a terrible time for women and for poor people and stuff. I want to go. It was a beautiful world. At least I guess the world that he created. Anyway.
Very good. We go together.
Yeah.
We can go. South of France.
We can go. To the south of France.
Impressionistic south of France, yes.
Yeah, I have to add an asterisk. Vincent van Gogh had a severe mental illness. He suffered throughout his life, and there are scenes of this movie that happening like a psychiatric hospital, and I was struck by the fact that we have watched watch the movies and talk about the movies of two artists who ended up in psychiatric hospitals, and that really saddened me. And despite everything I just said about being very sunny and beautiful, a beautiful world, there is that aspect too, that is there lurking in, you know, the reality of being mentally ill or having a mental illness at that time was, obviously it's not fun today, but it was even more dangerous at that time, because the treatment. There were no treatments. Vincent van Gogh was put in a straitjacket, like we see him in this, walking with this straitjacket to hold him. So, I'm not trying to say that
everything was perfect.
It was not a good time if you were suffering from something like this. Very well, so I guess should we even bother giving a rating to this movie?
Yes, of course.
Anyway, it's from one to ten. How many shining candles you give?
Ah, Nene, this is an easy one. I'm gonna give it a 10. It was unforgettable. It combines both of best worlds for me. It's art and great cinema. Great cinema making. It's certainly a film that I will at least mentally go back to often. It opened a lot of windows for me in how things can be done, how stories can be told. Yeah, the beauty of achieving something so subtle, which is going into an artist's mind, which is not an easy thing. I think it's really remarkable. And I would recommend this film a lot.
Great. Great.
Yes.
Perfect. Another 10
yes.
for Wicks and Candles.
How about you?
We are extremely boring. I hopefully we're not boring in the last few minutes of the podcast, because at this point we're boring. I'm going to say 10. It's clear. A film I love. It combines everything I love. Obviously, it's a period film, and that is not the most important part of it. It's just depicting life beautifully. It's about art. It's about the soul of the artist, the intent of an artist, the life purpose, the purpose of an artist. It's about philosophy. It's about life. It's about love. It has everything. And again, like you said, it's a beautiful cinema. Just as a movie itself, it just is moving, but also technically beautiful, proficient, like excellent. So, All right.
Very well.
Very well. So, Gabby, thank you so much for watching this movie, discussing it with me. I think it's the perfect movie to end the season, a very short season, but a special one.
Thank you, Nene. Also, thank you for your beautiful insights and rich inputs. I think when we started this endeavor of making a season focused on artists and art, we were not expecting to end up with this. We actually, if I look back on the four films that we watched, I had high hopes on Camille Claudel, very high hopes and very high expectations. And it's even now more beautiful to look back and say, actually, there was one little surprise along the road that really stole my heart. And I think it was this one, even though I have to say, the film about Hilma, of Clint Hilma, will always have a special spot in my heart. I admire Hilma as an artist so much. And I think it's one of the best films I've seen in the last 10 years. But yeah, I had seen that one already, so I knew what was expecting me. So I think this one with Vincent's story, as I said, I think it was a nice surprise along the road that I was not counting on. And I think it's, I think we did a very good job in our short but art-focused season.
I hope, Gabby, thank you for that. Thank you for that. I agree with you. It was a very pleasant surprise. And to me, I think it's a special movie because, I'm not an artist, I'm not a painter, but I identify with Vincent because I also suffer from a mental illness, and it's extremely hard to live with that. And, you know, your sense of self and a whole lot of things that go with that. So I suffer for him. I felt for him. The movie really humanized him, and an amazing surprise. Thank you too, Gabby, for your knowledge of our history and artists. It was very enriching as well for the discussions.
Thank you.
All right. Well, with this, we conclude our fifth season, which we dedicated to artists and their art and movies about art. Thank you for listening, and see you soon.
Thank you. Stay tuned. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wicks and Candles is written, hosted, and produced by Andreina Romero and Gabriela Norken Romero. The image design is by Pamela Rowling. The podcast theme music is the Concerto for Two Violins in D Minor by Johann Sebastian Bach.
Wicks and Candles is on Instagram and TikTok at Wicks and Candles. Make sure to follow us and also subscribe to Wicks and Candles on your favorite podcast platform.